If you have not been listening to the latest EPP bonus episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online, you don't know what you're missing.
It was so real to me. I could smell him. He was there. And I woke up and it was like he had just left.
GhostPodcast.com is where you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to get exclusive access to our once a week bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
I felt heavy and freaked out. Someone was most definitely watching me.
Complete with exclusive content only for EPP members.
They thought they were mistaken. The house wasn't there. They got out of the truck and stood looking at a large, unattended hayfield.
EPP bonus video only for EPP members.
And I'm like, what kind of sign are you looking for if that's not a sign?
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com or sign up through Patreon. The link is at ghostpodcast.com. I wanted to hear the answer to, did they find bodies underneath the building?
I did too. I was like, I was just sure she was going to say, and then they found bodies.
If you want to hear the best ghost stories we have, along with our regular funny and non-judgmental commentary, become an EPP.
This is a pond created by a giant off rock of the United States. I'm going to guess the translation there is.
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for an entire year. Get 1 month free out of that and a bonus bunk bed bell, so you can ring along at home. Keep Real Ghost Stories Online alive and be part of our exclusive EPP community. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, the live edition where we take your calls, share your real ghost stories on the air, absolutely live. 216-446-7810 is our phone number to call in and share your real ghost stories with us this afternoon. Everybody sit down, buckle up, and get ready for Real Ghost Stories Online.
Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost stories with us. 216-GHOST-10 to call in live this afternoon and get your ghost story on the air. We do this thing in the afternoons. Normally Wednesdays. We're recording this live on a Thursday today. Just had some stuff yesterday. I got wrapped up and I was not able to get out of to do the live version of the program. But welcome and thank you for joining us. Please press share on this if you're watching it live on whatever platform it may be, and let other folks know that we're doing this thing live so we can get more folks into the show, more folks calling in. And when you do that, I'm going to get you registered to win a copy of our book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. I'll autograph it and send it out your way if you are the winner of it. So that's how we're doing that this afternoon here on the program. 216-446-7810 is our number to hear your ghost stories this afternoon. Wrapped up some really interesting interviews this week over on the Grave Talks, and they will be live. In fact, they're live already on that site. The Patreon site for that, for the advanced episodes. House of Wills is one I talked to yesterday, and very, very interesting story. It's a haunted funeral home, but it was a building that was much more than that. At one point in time, there was a bar attached with it. At one point, it was a hospital. At one point, it was a speakeasy. It has been many, many things over the course of its life, and a lot of activity there. Some very interesting current activity as well. If you want the full story, you can check that out at patreon.com/thegravetalks and tune in for that. Want to say hello to some of our members who have already tuned in today. Mari, Sarah, a couple Sarahs, Elizabeth, Cassie, Holly, April, Carrie. Welcome, everybody. And thank you guys for being here. Phone lines are completely open right now. So if you want to get on and be the first call of the show, this is your opportunity to do it before the phone lines start getting really busy. Please do jump on that. Somebody always has to break the ice. It's always kind of the funny part of the live shows is doing just that, getting the ice broken with somebody going, okay, I'll share my ghost story. So whoever wants to be that person, go for it. Otherwise, I'm going to start getting my phone. I can't because it's being used as a camera right now. And I will call in as different people, as different characters, and share the real ghost stories of my alter egos. Wouldn't that be that'd be a great show? Actually, that'd be kind of fun. I think I'd get a big kick out of that. Anyway, 216-446-7810, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories to share your experiences with us. Let's jump over to this one to break the ice. Hi, you are on the air. What's your ghost story?
Hey, guys. This is Ryan from Boston, Mass. I've called in a few times before. Sorry, this one's kind of freaky, so I'm a little bit to tell this story, actually. I'm going to do my best to make sure you can hear me. I'm in the car right now, long commute. So, basically, just going to give you like a quick background. I'm from Massachusetts, and it's the summertime right now, and a lot of people from Massachusetts vacation to Cape Cod. A lot of people know what that is, but if you don't, it's the little arm of Massachusetts that goes into the Atlantic Ocean. Ton of beach towns, a lot of campgrounds, fairs, festivals, stuff like that. It's a really cool place. I love the ocean, so me and my family bought a place down there, and that's where we go on the weekends. So this weekend, I happen to be down there with my mom, my dad, and a couple of family friends who also have places in our neighborhood. Weirdly enough, my mom, she's obviously a little bit older than me, and she was having some really bad shoulder pain, so she's like, hey, let's go for a walk, and if you have some weed, can you bring it? I normally smoke weed on the weekends and stuff like that. Don't do drugs. But my mom typically does not, and she just thought it might be really good for the chronic pain she was having that day. So I'm like, yeah, okay, mom, it's cool. So I had something, got it going for her. And we took a little walk. She smoked a little bit. I smoked none. And we both kind of noticed the moon at the same time. And it was a couple days after the full moon, so it was still really bright in the sky. It was a perfectly clear night. But the moon, it just looked really cool. So we both go, hey, let's try to take a photo. My mom is using her iPhone 8. And I was using my Sony camera, and her phone, the display is big on, but I think mine picks up more because it's like an actual camera. She picks up her phone, sees nothing. The actual instant I pick up my phone and start to look through my screen, I see a sea of eyes. Like if you ever have a flashlight down a dark hallway and you see your dog or something, like the green glowing eyes, I saw probably about at least like 50 sets of them. And at first I was like, no, hopefully it's not like a bunch of animals or something, but they were probably closer to eye level with myself and my mom, which is like, it was an absolutely terrifying moment. The place we stay in is really dark and secluded. It's a old campground, and instead of having campers in there, they replaced it with park model RVs. That people stay in seasonally. There's not a lot of light and deep into the woods. And that area obviously is rich with Native American and indigenous backgrounds. So I just thought you guys would get a kick out of that story. It's probably one of the scariest nights of my life. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that story. That would be absolutely terrifying. You know, difficult to say if it was a ghost or not, but just the imagery of sitting there and you're seeing eye level eyes. It's one thing when you're out there, you're like, oh, it's a raccoon down there, or it's a squirrel, or even a deer. You know when something's at your level that should not be. That's Yeah, that would be scary. And then unfortunately, it's a place you go to and vacation every weekend. Hopefully that doesn't ruin it too much for you. Caller at 331, hang on, you are next in line. First, we're going to go over to a caller that is calling in at 248. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Sarah from Oxford, Michigan.
Hey, Sarah, welcome to the program. You got a ghost story for us today?
I do. I've been waiting forever to call it in. Didn't know how to get it to you. So just go ahead.
Go ahead, yes.
Awesome. So my husband and I, in 96, we bought our first house, and we purchased it with money that my grandmother had left me. And she always said that insurance money was blood money. So I know that sounds silly, but I used that insurance money for the house. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we closed on the house, both of us just got this horrible feeling when we opened the door. It should have been a happy, happy time. And soon after, just weird things started happening. And I just thought, well, it's because I have a toddler and I'm a new mom, and it's just nerves. It's learning a new house, that sort of thing. And we had, the one incident that really just weird things out of the corner of your eye, you'd hear noises, lights on in the middle of the night that I knew I had turned off, things were disappearing. And we had a dog that absolutely refused to come into the house anymore. After an incident, I don't know what she saw, but her hackles went up and she tinkled all over the floor, and that was completely unlike her. The one thing that really sunk it for me, I had come home from a store and my son had fallen asleep in the car, and it was a late nap. So I was waiting for him to wake up, and we had two dogs in the house with dog collars. So I could hear them, you know, their nails on the floor. And I was sitting on the end of the bed playing Sonic the Hedgehog with the sound down because I was waiting for my son to wake up. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw the adjoining door to our back bedroom swing shut, and it slammed. It slammed, and it sounded like somebody took double fists and pounded on the back of the door. And I thought, oh, my God, what was that? So I jumped up. I checked my son. I checked the dogs. They were still asleep in the living room. And I thought, okay, talk yourself down. This is not what it seems. This is something, you know, bizarre, but talk yourself down. And I called my girlfriend and I got her on the phone and I said, oh my God, something just happened. I can't explain it. And she said, check your doors, make sure they're locked. So I go to the front door and I check, and I could see the deadbolt and it's closed. And as I'm getting to the back door, I can see the deadbolt's closed. But as I approach the door, it's double fist on the back of the door. Boom. And I was like, okay, yep, we're out. I grabbed my kid. I went next door, and he was a police officer at the time. And so I didn't really want to tell him what was going on, but I did. And I sounded nuts. And he waited for my husband to come home, and who was furious. He said, you know, there could have been somebody in the house. But there wasn't. It had been raining. They took a flashlight on the outside, walked the perimeter. There were no footprints. There was nothing. But I tried to recreate it, and I tried to slam that door again. And we had friends staying with us, and they had clothes hanging on the back of the door. And I threw it with all of my might, and the whole door just went shh. It couldn't physically have closed the way that it did. So that's my ghost story.
I applaud you for trying to recreate it, because a lot of times it's just kind of like, well, that was a ghost. And, you know, sometimes things can be recreated or things can be explained with a little looking into. Air pressure is one of those with doors. But air pressure doesn't do a second bang on the door once it's already closed either.
No.
So that's a little different. But yeah, that's got to be one of those moments where there's a little bit of some vindication there going, oh, see, it had to have been a ghost. And at the same point, you're like, oh, see, it had to have been a ghost. And
right. Well, I mentioned my grandmother, because when we closed on the house, we were supposed to close, you know, and on one day, and we didn't. It ended up getting delayed 2 days. But all on every one of our mortgage papers, it has her birthday stamped on top of it. And it just started from the moment we walked into this house. And I feel like it was her just letting me know she was ticked that I had used that money as a down payment because of how she felt about insurance money.
Well, at least you got a house. So.
At least we lived there for 14 years. That was great.
it's like in the living. You can't always, in fact, it's more difficult sometimes to please the living than the dead. But I guess she's proven that you still can't please the dead as well.
Absolutely.
Such is family dynamics. Thank you for sharing that story with us this afternoon.
You are welcome.
Really appreciate it.
And thank you for what you guys do. I love it. You keep me company on my long drives.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And hope we can do it for a long time. to come. 216-446-7810 is our phone number. Caller at 830. You will be next. First, we're going to go to our caller at area code 331. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Tony. My name's Tari. I'm calling from Rhode Island.
All right. Welcome to the program. Let's hear your ghost story.
My story involves a bug zap.
I don't have the bell in here. The bell is in the other office, so ding. There you go.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting story. Let's say I was around 14. I was just the beginning of eighth grade. Okay. And it was the day before I actually started school. I was getting my stuff ready, and it was like, I want to say maybe 6-7 o'clock. So I had just gotten out of the shower, my backpack and everything else was ready, and my mom came in to ask if I wanted dinner. And I remember I told her, I'll go eat dinner, go to bed. I had already all my clothes and everything set out. And I go have dinner, and my mom starts talking to me about how my brother is having all this weird things going on downstairs on the basement where he's sleeping at. Mm-hmm. She starts saying how he's been telling her that he kind of feels eerie and, you know, all this stuff going on with the new house because we had just moved in. So kind of took it out to that. And that goes into play when I go to bed. That same day, he and I are talking, you know, about all this big stuff going on, me going to middle school. And, you know, the big move from to a brand new house. And then he starts saying, he's like, you know, when you were in the shower, I came in here looking for my, you know, for a little sister. And I was like, oh, I don't know. She wasn't in here. So he's like, yeah, I know. I was like, because when I came in here, I saw you in here, but you were also in the bathroom. So
almost
I was
like a doppelganger type thing?
What are you
thing?
Talking about? Yeah, like that's what I mentioned. You know, I was like, he's like, no, he was like, you were sitting here on the bed. It's like, I was talking to you. It's like, and then I saw you coming out of the bathroom. And I was like, I kind of got freaked out, you know. Mm-hmm. I was like, I was thinking it was a doppelganger, first of all. But then when he was like, the person was talking to him, pretending to be me. And then he sees me come out from the bathroom, and he goes and tells my mom. My mom forgot to bring it up to me when we were talking about all the stuff going on downstairs in the basement. And that same night, I go to sleep. And as I'm getting ready for bed, I had the double bunk bed where my stepsister used to sleep at the bottom. I used to sleep at the top. And it was like, I want to say around midnight, I started hearing like scratching underneath the mattress. And I was curious because my stepsister was living with her mother at the time. So it was not on a weekday where she would be home. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you know, probably my sister, my other little sister got in you know, and try to play a joke on me or whatever. I look underneath the bed, and here's this, like, thing hiding all the blankets. And as soon as I, you know, I looked, and I think that whatever was there felt that I was looking at it, it stopped moving. And it completely vanished from the mattress.
What was it that you saw on the mattress specifically?
Specifically, it was like, it was covered by a blanket. So I didn't see like a specific shape, but it was more like it was moving in between the sheets.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, you know, it's probably my sibling. And it's like, when I see it vanish, I'm like, that's not a living thing.
Yeah.
And that's when I told my brother about it the next day, and he's like, see, I wasn't lying.
When you first heard that from your brother, when your brother first said to you that he was talking to someone else that was out there, and I know you said doppelganger ran through your head, but what were you feeling? What was the emotion that was going through you at that second?
Well, like, you know, like I said, like, it was a brand new house. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, you know, I was like, you know, he's probably nervous. We're all nervous. It's a brand new house. We're getting to know the people, the neighborhood, mm-hmm. you know, so tensions are a little high.
Yeah.
Here and there.
And there's a possible logical explanation, but you're just not quite grasping it yet.
Yeah, until it happened to me.
Mm-hmm. That is a...
And I asked my...
You asked who? Yes, what?
Go ahead. I asked my sister the next morning, and, you know, just to clarify if she was in the room at night. I'm still not believing it, quite sure, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, nope. She's like, I was sound asleep in my mom's room.
Yeah.
I was all by myself.
That's a creepy story. Thank you for sharing that. And what a way to kind of introduce yourself to the new house in the neighborhood and all that by having that occur. Did things calm down afterwards? Did it, or were more things going on?
It was a peak where it would come down like every certain amount of years,
yeah.
And then it'll pick up like maybe for a week. Then again, I'll go quiet. And then we found out, because I did some history research on the house, and I found the blueprints of the house. And it had, in my bedroom, mm-hmm. it had like where the old owners used to be, it had a list. And there was a little boy who passed away in that room.
Okay. That could be your explanation.
That could have been.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us this afternoon. I really do appreciate it. Phone lines are completely open, 216-446-7810, to share your real ghost story with us. Would love to hear your story as the phones are open, like I said, to share your story. Leave your comments as well in the comments section, and I will try to answer some of those as we go through the show today. But do dial in, and you can be the next in line to share your ghost story. I'm reading a comment here. Laura says, I took a picture of the beams of the World Trade Center prior to the museum opening, and the photo when I got home, blew it up, showed a spirit on the beam. I went back and took the picture again, and it was not there. My husband does not believe in ghosts till he saw this photo. And I would not be surprised one bit by what I'm sure goes on those grounds and in that museum. And in that general area of destruction, it's hard to believe we're coming up on 17 years since that tragedy occurred. At 17, you know, 2018, so that would make it 17 years. I mean, for all those of us who lived through it as adults, it seems like yesterday. For those who were not around or do not remember it, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, I wonder about that. Just the other day, got an email from someone, and we were scheduling an interview actually for the program. And I suggested we record on September 11th at a certain time, and because you know businesses are operating and it's we weren't doing it as a live interview or anything of that nature. But the reply back I got was, "Are you aware that that's the anniversary of the September 11th attacks?" And I just I was taken aback. More than anything else, because I think it's one of those moments where for those of us who live through it, yes, of course, you'll never get that out of my mind by any means. It's something you think about every single day of your life. For those who were not around or were too young to remember that day, I guess there's a perspective difference there as far as what it was. And that's where I say, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It was truly a defining moment for all of us who went through it, because we know the before, we know the after. If you don't know the before, all you know is the after. And that's all you remember. So I guess the defining difference is not so much there, but you know, you also would have come up in a world too, where you were 100% at war and it was a post, world of that. So I don't know. I mean, it's a trauma that all of us lived through in one way or another. So that was an odd moment for me this week, just as you start to interact with adults who don't remember a world prior to that. The phone number to call in, again, is 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10 to share your real ghost stories with us. A while back, we had an episode about ghosts of 9/11. We had some stories that were called in. Fairly recently, we actually had a story about what someone believed was a ghost fireman that was trying to wander, I believe, through one of the boroughs, trying to warn people to get out because it wasn't safe to be there at the time. And they believe it was, they weren't quite sure if it was residual energy, if it was just this thing replaying itself over and over, or if there was an actual conscious entity that was still reliving that horrific day. 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost stories with us. Any other comments here? Johnny says, I read Jenny's story in the book, Who is the Quiet Little Girl. It was so nice to read about her experience. Please tell her how we miss her. I will definitely do that. If you are wondering about that, it's in the story. It's in the book. It's I think it's chapter 2. Let me see. It's her recounting her story of her childhood and the imaginary friend that she had that... it's in chapter 1. Chapter 1 is broken into two parts. It's on page 26 is where it starts. Who is a quiet little girl? And it talks about an imaginary friend that turned out to likely be a little boy from a much different time period of a school tragedy that took place, an explosion that took place, I believe in like the 1920s, not too far from where she had had grown up. All right, 216-GHOST-10, if you'd like to share your ghost stories with us, we would love to hear them. The lines are completely open. Let's jump over to this call right here. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, Tony. This is Jackie from Pennsylvania. I actually got cut off from my previous voicemail message, so I'm going to make this one shorter. So... I'm going to start off with, I went to school for special effects makeup, and our school was, it was really small, the town was really small, but we went for a short period of time, got our degrees, it was an awesome time. So starting out with my story too, we didn't have normal dorm-style houses in the town that I lived in when I went to school. We had the school actually redid some buildings, some local homes that were huge. They're more like a Victorian style housing. They were massive. But the point of them was so that multiple people could live there at a time. And I lived in a refurbished, redone Victorian style home with four other girls. And all of us coming from different backgrounds. So all of us had pretty different ways of thinking when it came to the paranormal. There was, most of them were on the same side as I am, because I've experienced paranormal happening my whole life. But there were some that weren't really open to the idea. But anyways, so my story begins more of like towards the end of my stay. There was multiple entities in our house, but this is just the story that really sticks out to me, the one where I was like to the point of being like, I'm done, you know, I want to move, or, you know, it actually pushed me out of my house for a while. And I was dating a guy while I was there, and I ended up staying with him almost up until the end of my stay at school after this, because I was just really sick of what was happening in my house. So my story is that one day I was home and all my roommates were in class, and I'm not a maid, but I'm like the person in the house. I always had to have everything clean. I was the one that cleaned. So I didn't have class. It was the only day that I was the only one at the house. So I was upstairs in the second story bathroom. I was cleaning the toilets, actually. And I remember that because I was holding a toilet brush. I was cleaning the toilet, just doing everything, you know, like just cleaning around and all that. And the door to the bathroom was open. And before I say anything else, all the windows were closed. It was a really hot day in the summer. And so I had a few air conditioners running, but I know there was no window open. And it was, the windows were really hard to open anyways, so we very rarely did we open them. So it was very quiet in the house. And like I said, I was cleaning the toilet. And then out of nowhere, I heard a woman yell at me. And it wasn't a scream. It was a yell. And it was like this. It was more like, ah, like really, really loud. And I dropped the toilet brush, and I was petrified. I couldn't even move. And like I said, I had experienced things in the house before, creepy things, you know, some things that were benign, you know, really harmless, but there were some things that have happened before, which I will call in again about, that just really shook me to my core. And this was the one time that really, you know, really got to me. And after she yelled, I walked out the door and I was looking around and I said, hello. And I knew there was nobody there. Like, I can just tell. I'm one of those people where if there's somebody around, I can feel them. And living or, you know, moved on. But I didn't feel that anybody living was in the house. But I felt once I walked out that there was a woman there, and I could feel her presence. And it was overwhelming. And it was just, I could feel her glaring at me. And it sounds odd, but I've always, like I said, been sensitive to the paranormal. And I know I can see one of those third eye deals. I can see from out of my third eye. She's just glaring at me, and she's so mad. And she didn't like any of us being there. And I knew that from the very beginning. I knew that she, you know, didn't like me, especially me, because I could see her and the other entities, and I knew that they were there, and I could hear them, and I could, you know, I could see them. She knew this, and she didn't like me especially, and I think she used me more as like, here's my message, now tell everybody to get out of my house. So I called my roommates, and I said, hey, there's no chance that anybody's home is there. And they said, no, our school is really small, so you walk around the halls, you can see everyone. So my one roommate I was talking to, she said, yeah, so-and-so, which was my one roommate too, and I are sitting in class right now. And the other two, we just saw them too. They're here. You know, they're working on projects and stuff like that. So I was petrified. And I could feel her just like on my back as I ran out the door. She's just, you know, get out, get out, get out. I could feel her. And she like I said, she didn't like any of us. And it's just, I was terrified. I ran out on the porch and I bawled. And I called one of my male friends at the time. And I said, hey, you know, are you in class? He said, yeah, but I can, you know, if you need me, I can come up. What's up? I said, and he gets here. I'm so upset. I'm bawling. And I said, please come up here and please help me with this situation. So he also believes in the paranormal. So he didn't think I was absolute, you know, like a nut job. And he walked in the house. He was sensitive like I was too. And he walked in the house with me and I was really hesitant to go back in. You know, we walked all around, yet again, checking for somebody because you never know. You know what I mean? I mean, I've heard Tony say this in the past, you know, it's more of like worrying about the living rather than the dead sometimes. So, he walked around and he told me, he said, you know, I just feel like something does not want to be here. You know, this doesn't feel good. And it's just like, you can feel this weight when you walk into the house sometimes, and depending on how they want to present themselves that day. Like I said, since she had just yelled at me, you could just really feel it. And he didn't even really know like the whole story before before he came. He just, you know, was going based off what he was feeling, and he said, this does not feel good. So actually, after that, learning more about the house, I got in contact with a woman, and she ended up telling me, and I really hope I don't get cut off, I'll make it really short. She ended up telling me that before we moved in, it was actually filled with male students. One of the male students was into, is it Satanism or worshiping the devil? And he actually, because this woman herself is also sensitive too, and she actually ran a local paranormal group. And she said this male individual in two spots of the house did these rituals to either summon the devil or open up a portal. And he actually ended up in the basement making an animal sacrifice to the devil. And then that's why they switched it to female housing, because they were having too much trouble with the males in there. So he opened up something in the basement, and it just really, after learning that, it just really opened my eyes and really made me realize that no wonder there's multiple entities in the house. No wonder, you know, they don't want us here. These beings, you know, what have you, they're not good. But anyway, I am going to end it there. I will write more about my college experience because there are lots more stories. I just want to tell you guys that, you know, you make me laugh so much. Oh my gosh, I love listening to Tony and Jenny. I love listening to Tony and Carol and any of the other guests that you have. You guys are doing such good work. I will write back in. I look forward to writing back in now that I know how much easier it is than I thought it was. So you guys enjoy your day. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. And the thing is, when you have things like that and portals, for lack of a better term, that are open, I don't like to use that word, but for lack of a better term, like I said, you don't always, it's not always like demons that are coming through. Sure. I mean, that is a possibility, but sometimes you get the good, you get the bad. And just like people, sometimes people have good days. Sometimes people have bad days. And you can tell, especially if you're close with somebody, it's like, oh, I'm going to stay away from you today. Or hey, it's really inviting and friendly. You know, the same, I think, can be said of ghosts. And that's where we're, I think, picking up on those same levels, except it's all the more bizarre, because we're talking about someone who's not living. Let's go to caller at 435. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Tony. My name is Zach. I'm from Northern Utah.
Hey, Zach. Let's hear your ghost story.
All right. So I work at a jail. Been there for 10 years. And this happened a few years ago. I don't have a lot of stories that go on, but this one caught our eye.
Okay.
We had a former inmate who left our facility. He got released. Went outside and down the street, we're on a busy highway. He ended up jumping in front of a semi truck, killing himself. So that was odd. And during this time, it was a few years ago, I was working the graveyard shift, me and another deputy, and saw paint the picture. And so in our jail, it's shaped like an octagon. So we sit in the middle, and all the cells are around us, kind of like a big circle. And on one side is a long hallway, probably 50 feet, and it goes into the main building, kind of the booking area and stuff. And so it stays really quiet and really dark upstairs on the third floor where we're at. There are minimum security inmates, so they're all on bunk beds and whatnot. So one night, a few years ago, me and this other deputy working upstairs or listening to the radio. It's sitting behind us playing music. And, you know, nothing's going on. It's just nice and quiet. And I tell you the truth, I bet you it was probably 3 a.m. now that I think of it. Probably 3 in the morning. You know, everything happens at 3. And so we're listening to music, and all of a sudden it stops, and we hear the scratching noise. So we both look at each other, and we look behind us where this plug-in radio was playing. I stand up and go look at the radio, and I notice that it became unplugged. And the plug cover is a stainless steel cover, and the plug itself scratched across the stainless steel cover, making the scratching noise. And I thought, holy cow, this is freaky weird. Like, not only did the radio turn off, but it became unplugged here up on the third floor where we were working. So we had that happen. And during this time, it was about 2 or 3 months of when this individual passed away, where we had a lot of things going on. We'd hear a lot of footsteps down the hallway. It sounded like someone was walking down this long hallway, which there was nobody down the hallway. Downstairs is more of our medium maximum security guys. And so at night, you know, we have a regular metal door and it has like a glass window so we can look into the cells and see if the inmates are sleeping and whatnot. And during the night, a few guys, you know, they'd stay up and read their books with the dim light coming from the day room. And a few guys would stop and ask us and say, hey, didn't you guys just walk past through here before? And I'd be like, no, we didn't come through here. Like, we'd just been sitting in an office, chilling out, and we just barely walked through. They're like, hey, I just saw the shadow go by my window just like a few seconds before you guys came through. And I'm like, ah, you know, I don't know, man, because, like, we never saw anything like that. So, and it happened in multiple blocks where there was a lot of inmates that said they would see shadows. Like I said, I've worked there for 11 years, and so there really hasn't been a lot. Like, we've had a few people pass away in our facility, but it's due to medical reasons. And it only happened for a couple months. And about the same time as well that I came to realize is we also had a lot of inmates, like federal inmates, come in, and they were, like, pulling their teeth out, like a tooth out or a thumbnail or something. And they were praying to this virgin called the Santa Muerte. Mm-hmm. And they were making offerings. And so when we do cell searches, we find a lot of these drawings with this saint called La Santa Muerte. And it'd be kind of like a protector over criminals and stuff. And it seemed like during that time, we started having a lot of weird things.
Yeah.
Other than that, it hasn't been anything too crazy since the past couple of years I've been there.
That has to be disturbing, where you have it being fairly calm and then you have the bizarre death of someone who's just released and then chooses to end their life at that moment. And then all these things start happening. And also your correlation there with the sacrifices and or the offerings that were being made. Yeah, that's it's funny to say nothing too creepy, but that sounds pretty damn creepy to me.
No, it's not too creepy. You know, and I'm not one that's super sensitive. Sure. Like, I've had personal things, like people that have passed away close to me that, you know, I can feel their presence or I know that they're there. Mm-hmm. But that's more of not creepy. It's more of like a comforting thing.
Sure.
For me.
Sure.
I have one more story. I know it's going to be quick.
Go for it.
So on the side, you know, most cops, most people in law enforcement, we all have second jobs, especially where I live. Mm-hmm. So my second job for the past 4 years, I'm a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. So I got into real estate, have my license. I go sell and buy homes. And a few years ago, and I still work over at the jail, but a few years ago, I was out showing homes to a couple. They were looking more of a home just to rent out the basement and whatnot. And so it was probably fall 2 years ago. And, you know, it was cool. It was dark outside. It get dark really early at 6 o'clock at night. And I remember going to one particular house early, about 10 minutes before my clients would show up. And I just kind of wanted to walk through, turn on the lights in the home. It was vacant at the time. And just, you know, get a lowdown of the layout of the house. So when my clients showed up, I can tell them, hey, this is what I see in this house, the potential. And I remember walking into one specific room of the house, and I just felt like someone was staring at me. Like I felt these eyes, like I was being watched, you know, and I didn't think anything above it. I was like, hey, you know, I'm by myself, it's a dark house, that's all right. So my client showed up, and we went through the house, and I didn't say anything to them. I just kind of wanted to see what their reactions were. They went through the house, they liked it, and we got outside, and they said, yeah, we walked in this back room, and we just had this eerie feeling like something was looking at us, like something was staring at us, you know? They're like, I don't know what it is. It just one room just felt creepy in this house. And so I was like, yeah, okay, you know, it's an older house. It's dark outside. You know, it could be our mind playing tricks. So anyway, the next day, I look up the address, and sure enough, I noticed that somebody committed suicide in that house like a year prior, and in that particular room where someone had died. And sure enough, where someone had ended their life is the same house, the same room where we felt like somebody is watching us.
Discount.
Yeah. And you know what? And if you find that out, you do have to disclose that, but really, you don't really have to disclose, at least here in Utah that I know of, if someone's passed away in the house, unless you don't know about it, you don't have to say anything about it.
If you're aware of it and they don't ask about it, do you have to share it just because you have the knowledge, or do they have to actually ask the question?
If they have to ask the question, you know, and if they ask why it's discounted so low, for example, or whatever the case may be, you know, I'd be upfront and tell them.
Sure.
Like this house, I had no idea. It wasn't until I had that really creepy feeling of being watched.
Yeah.
Where I invested a bit and found out that someone had ended their life there. And then when they asked me about the house, and they weren't going to buy it anyways, I said, yeah, this is what I found out. And they're like, oh, okay. Makes a lot of sense.
That explains that. Yeah. Thank you for the stories. So, those are good ones.
I appreciate it, Tony. I've been listening to you guys for over a year, and it's super great. Love listening to you guys. We're the same age. I love the references you give. So keep it up.
All right. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. You take care.
You too.
All right. That's going to wrap up today's live episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for supporting the show. If you're an EPP, if not yet, please become one over at ghostpodcast.com. That's what keeps this thing on the air. $5 a month is all it is to be an EPP. You can do it for a full year. Get yourself a bunk bed bell. We got a few more of those left. So if you want it on that, claim that. Get ready for our next thing. But please do support us no matter what you do, either through the website at ghostpodcast.com or through patreon.com. And keep this thing alive. Until next time, for everybody, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.